was thinking of that song this morning that says, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While thou on others calling, do not pass me by." That's how I feel this morning. I feel very needy of the Lord to help me, that he not pass me by in my endeavor to do the will of God, not to pass us by as a congregation, but that the Lord would be willing to stop and meet with us and speak to our hearts. Desire your attention, your prayers for a little while this morning. I remember maybe 25 years ago, I had purchased a car that I was wanting to restore, fix up. It was a 77 Camaro LT. And I was outside in my driveway, and it had some rust on the mag wheels. Well, I didn't want rust on my wheels. I wanted to figure out how to get them cleaned up. Well, rust is a little bit hard to get rid of, especially in that type of situation. And so I was sat down in the driveway on something, and I was working away. I had all kinds of stuff I was trying to take care of it with. And about that time, here comes somebody, a door-to-door salesman coming down the street. And he approached me, and he had the biggest smile. I mean, he was a young, charismatic young man. And he had passion about what it was he was trying to sell. He had a cleaner that he was wanting to sell. And most of the time, I'll just acknowledge, most of the time when my doorbell rings and it's a door-to-door salesman, I'm really, most of the time, I'm not real interested. And that was my first internal response. Just, I'm busy trying to clean this car up, and inside I'm thinking, you know, head to the next house. And all of a sudden the light bulb clicked on, and I said, I looked up at him, and I said, "I'll tell you what. I said, if your cleaner can clean this rust off of my wheels right here, we might have a deal." I don't think I knew how much it cost at that point. It wasn't cheap. It was expensive. So I got up from my little stool, and I stood back, and he sat down and started scrubbing, and I'm thinking, I'm in kind of a no-lose situation here. Here he is scrubbing on my wheels, cleaning my wheels up for me, and if he has something that works, hey, I get double benefit. You know what happened? It worked. It was like just moments later. I mean, he sat down with the most confidence that you've ever seen. I thought, well, I've got him now. He's thinking about cleaning the bathtub out in there. I don't have a bathtub. I got rust on metal that I want taken off. And I thought I had him. Oh, he wasn't deterred. He wasn't questioning his product. He was the most excited young man to sit down and show me how this stuff was going to work. And it worked. And I bought it. And it's worked for us for a lot of years in a lot of different areas. The stuff actually works, and I'm not trying to sell that cleaner this morning. But did you know that having conviction is powerful? Having passion and confidence and belief in what you're doing, That's a powerful motivating factor for both people. It affected me as the receiver. This man, I mean, he looked like he could sell that to just do whatever you had a problem with. And he believed in it. And it caught my interest. If he had said, "Well, I don't know. I mean, my stuff, it has to be kind of a certain, you know, it's kind of dependent on the person and the thing. And I don't know, it was a pretty tough situation there." I said, "You know, yeah, thanks very much. I've got work to do." Nope, he was all in with what he had. And it helped me and it helped him. We've been reading a passage in the sixth chapter of Luke for maybe over a year now. Several verses out of the sixth chapter of Luke, around the 47th verse. There's a lot to get out of these verses. There's a lot to preach on in the Bible besides the sixth chapter of Luke. But there's a whole lot in the sixth chapter of Luke that builds a foundation for how we should live our lives. And I'd like to just remember what these verses said. These verses say in the sixth chapter of Luke, in the 46th verse, Jesus said, Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and you don't do the things that I said? No, why do you have a testimony of being a Christian and yet there's these times when you're not acting like a dear follower of Jesus Christ? But on the other hand, you're saying, yeah, Lord, Lord, I believe in you. And so he asked them that question as a challenge. It's a challenge to us today. Do we ever do that? Well, he went on and he said, all right, and I'm using my own words, here it is. Whoever it is that comes to me, comes to Jesus, whoever that person is that comes and then hears what I say and then does it, here is the way that person is. He's like a man which built a house his life. And he founded it. First it said he dig deep. Dug real deep. And he laid his foundation on the rock. And then the storms came and beat vehemently upon that house, but couldn't shake it because the house was founded on a rock. Well, there was another man too. But he that heareth and doeth not, he's like a man without a foundation. He built a house upon the earth, against which the stream came, life situations came, peer pressure came, disappointments came, unexpected experiences came that rocked his house, and it said immediately it fell. And the ruin of it was great. Well, we've talked about these verses quite a bit, but something stands out to me that we haven't focused on just a whole lot, and that is that this passage of Scripture did not say that the man came to hear the word of the Lord, heard the word of the Lord, and then it didn't say, and then did it only because he felt like he had to. Well, I heard the word of the Lord. I came. I heard it. I guess that's how I'll live. I guess that's what I have to do. I guess if I don't want to experience hellfire, I guess this is what I'm going to have to do. I guess my parents, they said this is how I'm going to have to live. So I guess this is just how I'll have to live my life. So that's what I'll do. That's not what it said. And that isn't where this man was coming from. It didn't say that he did it only when it was convenient. Didn't say he only did it when it matched how he would kind of like to live life. That's not what it said. No, it simply says that he came and he heard. And it said that he did it, regardless of all the other influences or desires that he might have had in life. And look, you know, and I know, that life is such that we face things where it's not always easy to do what Jesus wants us to do. Right? And that happens on more than one occasion. We want to be a Christian. We want to say, Lord, Lord, you're my God. But then we face these things, and it's not always easy to do what doth say the word of the Lord. Life is not a perpetual camp meeting with like-minded people. Life can be hard. Let me rephrase it. Life is hard. And we can all put on smiles on our face, which we should, and I believe the Lord has a smile to give us. And we can dress our best and put on the best outlook, and we can act like we're on top of the world. Sometimes you see people, and it just seems like they're always on top of the world. But I want to tell you something. Life is real for everyone. And life brings challenges to everyone. Life brings difficult places to everyone. The wind comes to everyone that rocks your boat. Dark places come and you can't see ahead very well. Right? Haven't we all faced that? Living a life for Jesus Christ involves sacrifice, doesn't it? You say, oh, well, if you live for the Lord and everything, you know, is going like it should be, it's not a sacrifice at all. No. There is sacrifice in living for Jesus Christ. He said that. There's going to be hard places. There's going to be crosses. Yes. Just don't forget there's heavier crosses if you don't have Jesus. Don't miss out on that. The enemy likes to tell us that. But yes, there's crosses. But this didn't say that the man sometimes was up and sometimes was down. It just said he did it all the time. And he did it because he believed in it. He lived that way because it said that he dug deep. And the result was that when he came and he heard what Jesus had to say, and he dug deep until he hit rock. It didn't say then that the storms never came. Yes, the storms still came. You're not abnormal. You haven't missed it just because the storms of life come. Well, I must not be a Christian because the storms come. No, the storms of life are going to come to the Christian and to the non-Christian. That doesn't mean you're not saved. The storms of life did come. It's just that when the sun came out and when the storm passed, the house was still standing. There it was, still standing, still firm, still had his life, still had his confidence, still had his faith, still believed in what it was that he was patterning his life after. His end was preserved. He didn't die. He wasn't destroyed. And this brings us back to the subject of the message this morning, and that is that this man that we read about, who had a good end, whose experience, he experienced a good and expected end that God wanted for it, that man had some conviction. Conviction. He had conviction. Conviction. See, the other man, there's another part too. There's another man in here too. And he had a house. He had a life. And no doubt he had some professed beliefs. And there were things of the world that he identified with, that he was identified by. And perhaps the other man in this story probably would have also said, I have some convictions too. But they weren't founded on the Word of God. And it said here that the ruin of his house was great. Consider that for a minute. Because this happens every single day. Every single day, people's lives end in ruin. And you will be no exception if your house isn't founded upon a rock of Christ Jesus. No exceptions. This happens every single day with people who believed or who gave themselves to live after those things that they felt. was going to just really work out for him. Just like the prodigal son. I know what I'll do. That is where fulfillment is. But eventually, that hourglass of time runs out. And the storms come of greater force than what your house is built on. And if your house, if your life is not built on Jesus Christ, the ruin of your house is going to be great. I have a question this morning. Do you have conviction? Is your life built on having strong convictions? And if so, where did your convictions come from? This is so important. Well, maybe we should start. What is a conviction? What is a conviction? A conviction is, it's a strongly held belief in something. Conviction. Strongly held belief. Well, what is belief? Belief is something that you have trust in. You have faith in it. You have confidence in it. Faith and trust and confidence. And so there, another way that we could define conviction is living a life and patterning our life after things where we have a strongly held trust in, and our faith is in it, and we have confidence in it. Conviction, passion. It goes way beyond just a practice or a way of life. Living a life of conviction is not living a life that follows things you're just curious about. I remember one time asking somebody, why do they do that? What causes them to do that? Somebody that was familiar with the folks in question. And I said, well, they're just curious about it. That's not living a life of conviction. That's dangerous. Don't follow after things you're just curious about. Young people, you're making decisions right now that's going to affect the whole rest of the course of your life. Don't follow after things that just are kind of appealing. You're just curious about. Well, let's just find out about it. You can save yourself a lot of trouble if when you're young, you give yourself to finding some convictions, finding those things to pattern your life after that you trust in, that you have faith in, that you have confidence in, and that are founded upon the word of the Lord. People live their lives all the time around us, and they live their lives, and yet they would tell you that they don't have a lot of trust or faith or confidence in how they're living their lives. It's just how they're living their lives. Other times you ask people, why do you do that? Well, I'm not really sure. And that's what our family does. That's just what we've always done. Why do you believe that? Well, it's because that's what my parents said. That's what they did. There's a place for that, to do what your parents say to do. When you're in the home, when you're growing up, and your parents are trying to model for you and show you what good looks like, hopefully. Not all homes are good homes. But in a good home, if you'll work with me a little bit on that, that's the idea. But folks and young people, eventually you get to the place where that isn't going to be good enough, because you're going to be out on your own. And you're going to have your own storms of life that come. And you're going to have some conviction. You're going to have something that goes deep. You are going to have your own trust and faith and confidence in how you're living your life if you're going to stand. Otherwise, you're going to fall. You're not going to have what you need on hand. And it isn't going to work. And the Lord wants us to have something that works. We as individuals can get drawn so easily into following after ways and things of life where too quickly we get drawn in, and yet we haven't taken the time to dig deep, to make sure that we understand that we have some conviction about this. And people that don't, too late, often find themselves in so much trouble. Consequences that can follow you for the rest of your life. That even if you get right with God, we can't always undo the consequences of choices that you made that weren't founded upon the rock, that you had a conviction about, that this is right and this is true. Because when you do that, you end up like this man that we just read about, whose house didn't stand when the storm came. And it said that the ruin of his house was great. And the Lord wants to prevent that. He wants to keep that from happening in our lives. And as a note of encouragement today, to those who have experienced ruin in your life and a fallen house, God's in the business of restoring. He's in the business of rebuilding. He's in the business of giving convictions and ways of life that you can put your trust in and that you can have faith in, that you can have confidence in, so that he can bring a healing and give you a house that will stand the storms that are ahead of you and that will stand the judgment of God that will come, so that he can, with his arms open wide, say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Again this morning, my burden, my question to you is, what kind of house do you have today? What kind of house are you living in? Do you have convictions? What kind of convictions do you have? Why do you do what you do? Why do you live like you live? Many say, "Well, that's my personal conviction. I do it because that's what's right for me." But where did those convictions come from? Do you think that just because you have a conviction that it's going to stand the storm of life? Did you know that there's a lot of people that have developed convictions about things that aren't founded on the rock? They're based on something that is false. They're based on things that won't stand. And just because you have the conviction doesn't mean that it's going to make it right. And so the question for us today, as Christians and folks, those that have been brought up this way from the time that you were young, and maybe you were a person that you're willing to pattern your life. You were taught this, you adopted it, you're living it. But look, God wants you to live your life with conviction, with passion, with faith and confidence. He doesn't want us to go through life, "Well, I'm not sure why I do this. I'm not sure why I live this way really completely. Well, I've always had questions about that." And 20 years have passed, and you're still living a life and in a way that you're just not really convinced. That will steal you of your joy. That will steal you of your peace. That will take a smile off of your face. It will make it difficult for you to go down the street and see somebody that's having trouble with rust in their lives and say, "I've got exactly what you need. I have exactly the answer for your problem. Here it is. Let me show you." No, because we'll be questioning ourselves. Is it right? Is it true? "Well, I don't know if this really will work or not. I don't know if it'll clean up another person's life as advertised. I don't know." So it's a serious question. What kind of life are you living? Why do we do what we do? Paul said in the second chapter of Philippians in the 12th verse, it's why he said, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your own salvation. But it didn't stop there, he said, with fear and trembling, because it's serious. In other words, you are going to have to work out a salvation between you and God that goes beyond you and your church family and you and your parents and you and the people that are looking at your lives and you're gauging whether or not they accept you or not. We are going to have to find a place where we work out our salvation with God. But it said, do it with fear and trembling because it's serious. It didn't say, well, work it out, your own salvation, and what's good for you is good for you, and what's good for you, well, that's fine if that's what you want. No, do it with fear and trembling in a way that you work it out so that you dig deep and hit rock, hit Jesus Christ, so that you can have a salvation that stands when the storms of life come. We live in a time and an age where we're so encouraged and so influenced to find what makes us happy. Find what makes you happy and go after that, whatever makes you happy. And everything is just at our fingertips. It's so easy to get. We think, oh, you know what? I'd like to have such and so. With a few clicks of the button, the Amazon man arrives at your front doorstep and says, here it is. It was like, wow, that was fast. That was just yesterday. Or you say, I wonder what the answer is to that. Oh, let me look. We hit a few keys and there's the answer. How much do we value those things? Sir, would you like this product? Yeah, but I'd rather have it in this color, this size, a little bit different weight. I'd like it to be delivered at this time. Okay, we can do all that. And there it is. We go on to something else. If we're not careful, we can allow that influence to affect our approach to finding godly based convictions in our life. We can get to the place where we don't want to have to work very hard to find out whether we ought to have a conviction in a certain area or not. People say, you ought to be careful about that. Parents might say, or a loved one might say, you're going in a direction. I've seen that happen before. It's dangerous. I've seen people get in trouble going down that road. Make sure that's right. And we say, yeah, let's see. Is it right? Well, it feels right to me. Well, that's what I want. That's an experience I want to have in life. And maybe we open up our Bibles and read a couple things. It's not, yep, that's my conviction. Because we're so used to just move on to the next thing that satisfies. And if we're not careful, we bypass the part where it says to dig deep. This man whose house stood firm, he came, we all came, we're here, we're all here together, we all came, we did that part. We checked that off. We are here and hearing. Hopefully we're all hearing. Check that off. Now, are we going to do it or not? Are we going to dig deep? And the digging deep part. We could sit here in our pews and you can hear stuff preached across the pulpit that maybe you're not in agreement with. We can sit there and we say, well, that doesn't fit with my life. Well, you know what? They're different than I am. I got a particular situation. I don't really think that fits. And we cast that off. And that's the extent of our digging. We are not going to get convictions from God if we're not serious about having convictions from God. God wants us to be serious about this. And He wants us to have... God wants you to be fully persuaded in your life that you're living the way that you're living because I want to live this way. I believe in this. I have trust in this. I have confidence in this. I have passion about this. God wants you to have that. God doesn't want you to go through life, well, I'm not sure. Well, I hope it's right. Well, I've always wondered about this. And then it just takes all your peace and joy because there is sacrifice that is associated with living a life of a Christian. So, who wants to sacrifice? Who wants to face storms and at the same time have very little trust, faith, and confidence in the way that you're living? That's no fun. That's not where fulfillment is found. There's going to be sacrifice. There's going to be storms of life that are stronger than you are. I want to tell you something. In the fear of God, I want to live a life that is a life of conviction, a life that I trust, that my belief is something that I trust and that I have faith in and that I can have passion about, because I want to be able to stand when the storm comes. Yet so many times we just cast things off to the side when it doesn't suit us, when it doesn't look agreeable, when it doesn't look like it's going to fit, and we pursue trying to have some other belief. This morning, God has already established what truth and right and light and righteousness is. He's already established it. He has the truth. He has what is right for you in life, if you're willing to put in for it. He wants to give us that. So how do we get conviction, godly conviction that I'm speaking of? Because it's not just enough to say, well, it's what I believe, so that should be good enough for me. I think sometimes people can throw that out rather loosely as a way to create a wall or a barrier that, well, since that's my belief, that's really a line you shouldn't cross, and questioning the way I live because that's my belief. It's sacred. Well, it might be your belief, and you might feel like it's sacred, but it might fall, and you might have great ruin in your life, and there might be somebody that's really concerned about your life. You have Jesus Christ, who's really concerned about your life, and His Holy Spirit. And He comes, and He taps on your shoulder, and He speaks to your heart, and He says, Rod, you're going in a direction right here. You need to go this other way. You need to think about making an adjustment. And we can be so ready just to cast it off. How do we get conviction? If you want to have godly convictions that's founded upon a rock, if you want to receive light and truth, you're going to have to put yourself where light and truth exist. You have to manage your diet. People go out to all of these other things that in their heart of hearts know probably not real spiritually beneficial. And then we say that we're open to having godly convictions. But we're not doing any digging. We're just living however we want to live. I'm not saying everybody does that. But we can be tempted to do that. If you want to have God-based convictions, put yourself where God is. Give yourself to understanding what doth say the word of the Lord. Be willing to dig deep. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you and bring you light. And you know what? Having godly, God-based convictions is going to require honesty on our part. Personal honesty with ourselves. Got to be honest with yourself why you're doing what you're doing. What is it that you really want to do? Otherwise, it's just real easy to just have this answer. Well, that's my conviction. Did you dig for it? People live their lives and they say, well, I know that's what the church teaches. But I just don't see it. And so, you know, I just can't live to something that I don't see. So I'm going to just do something else. But the question is, did you try to see it? Did you try? Did you give yourself to digging deep to find out what the word of the Lord says? Or did you just want to live however you wanted to live? May God help us. There is no way for us to have convictions from the heart that are on the foundation of Jesus Christ if we're not willing to put ourselves in the place where Jesus Christ can bless us and give us light. Where we have an open heart and an honest heart and a true desire to build a house that'll stand when the storms of life comes. And I just want to add this note that if you believe your conviction is different and contrary, maybe in a certain area of life, it's diametrically opposed to what the general life and convictions are of other godly people that you have confidence in, and that they have a proven track record before God. And you're starting to head off in a different direction because, after all, it's your own conviction. And that's what my message is. You need to have your own conviction. But if you find yourself going very different areas, young people are making decisions that because they're getting more and more decision rights the older you get, and then pretty soon it's your life and it's up to you and you're going to make the decisions. And then you say, well, I don't really agree with that. I don't understand that. That's not really for me. And I don't really see it. Maybe you don't, but I would just caution and ask that you pause and that you dig deep and make sure there's not something you're missing. Be honest with yourself and with God. Lord, is there something here that I'm missing? And you know what? It's possible. I mean, people make mistakes. Sometimes we have convictions in areas that we are in error. And you have to have your own conviction. That's why it's important for you to have your own conviction. But what I am saying is, be careful when you choose to walk away from a tried and true way in all these areas of life. And usually there's a pattern to it. It's not just one area. It's this and this and this and this. And you just think you can just kind of live. Make sure you get convictions that are founded upon the Word of God. Seek to be fully persuaded, as Paul said. And that's all of us, young people, middle-aged, older people. Paul said, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. God wants us to be fully persuaded in our minds. He wants us to have conviction. He wants us to have power and passion in our Christian life. He wants to give it to you. And in closing this morning, I'd like to read out of the 24th chapter of Luke. These were some disciples who had questions and they weren't sure about Jesus and what had happened. And this was after he had resurrected. And in the 38th verse, he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. Sometimes I feel like we live life and we're troubled. Maybe about ways of life that we have that we're unsure about. Maybe that others have promoted. And maybe we can't find in the Word of the Lord where that is. Maybe it's because it's not in there. Maybe it is in there and we just haven't looked. But Jesus said, why are you troubled? Why do questions arise in your minds? Have you ever been there? Questions arise. What about this? I think we probably all have been. Jesus had a response. He had a solution for that. He told them, he said, look at my hands. Look at my feet. And he said, handle me. Come close. Make contact with me. Come get to know who I am. That you may be sure. That you may be able to go from here and say, I have seen Jesus. I know that this way of life, it's founded on a rock. It works. I have trust in it. I have faith in it because I drew nigh unto Jesus Christ. I did whatever I had to do to handle Jesus. That was his words. to look to see who he was, to see what the word of the Lord says. And if we do that this morning, we can live our Christian lives with joy and confidence and peace and passion and willing to go out into a world and say, I've got the answer for the rest of your life. Whatever the problem is, let me share it with you. This morning, I want to have that. I want to have conviction in my life. My desire is that all of us here as a congregation can live lives of conviction that's founded upon the Word of God. Pray for me. I want to be true. Amen.